Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the MDS podcast, the official podcast of the International Parkinson's and Movement Disorders Society. My name is Eduardo de Pablo Fernandez from the Center for Preventive Neurology at Queen Mary University, London. And I will be welcoming today Dr. Cecilia Tremblay, who is the corresponding author of the paper recently published in Movement Disorders Clinical Practice, Predicting Postmortem Alpha-Synuclein Pathology by the Combined Presence of Probable REM Sleep Behavior Disorder and Hyposmia. Thank you very much, Cecilia, for joining us today, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me.
So in the era of wet biomarkers, there is still room and it's still crucial to an accurate clinical examination. And I understand that this is what your paper is trying to highlight here. Your research is, the current analysis is based on the Arizona study for aging and neurodegenerative conditions. For those not very familiar with the study, can you tell us a bit about the setting, the population, and what sort of clinical assessments did they have?
Yes, of course. We use data from the Arizona study of aging and neurodegenerative disorders and its brain and body donation program, which is a longitudinal clinical pathological study of aging that has been going on for several years at Banderson Health Research Institute in Sun City, Arizona. So this is a community-based study in which a volunteer elderly participant agrees to longitudinal follow-ups with standardized test batteries that include cognitive movement disorder exams that are performed by subspecialty neurologists. And then volunteers agree to brain and body and sometimes body donation. And at the time of that, they have a full neuropathological examination. The program focuses on normal aging, so we include cognitively and movement unimpaired individual, but also focuses on those that have dementia and Parkinsonism, and there's also additional referral from a community neurologist into the program.
So it's a wide population-based cohort with a mix of healthy controls and different neurodegenerative disorders. So in this analysis, you included 652 participants. And the aim of your study was to try to provide a cost-effective way to improve the accuracy of Lewy body pathology in clinical practice and clinical research. Your study focused on two main symptoms, REM sleep behavior disorder and the presence of hyposmia. Can you tell us a bit more about why you focus on these two symptoms and how were they assessed in your study?
Yes, of course. We wanted to leverage the large data set that we had, like collecting data over the years for both REM sleep behavior disorders and olfactory function. REM sleep behavior disorder, which is a parasomnia characterized by dream enactment behavior and loss of REM atonia, has been shown to be a really strong predictor of a final clinical pathological diagnosis that involves alpha-synuclein pathology. And while a definite diagnosis requires a video polysomnography, which are measures that can be quite expensive and time-consuming, sometimes clinicians can therefore rely on clinical diagnosis of probable RBD, which has been diagnosed in our program by our neurologists by the history of the participant. And we have been also using tools such as the Mayo Sleep questionnaires to help make the diagnosis. And then also, why we selected olfactory dysfunction, I've been myself really interested in studying olfactory dysfunction for quite a couple of years now. And I find it really striking how this symptom is quite easy to assess and is really predictive of different neurodegenerative diseases, but especially of synuclein-based diagnosis such as Parkinson's disease, dementia with Lewy bodies. So in our program, we evaluate the olfactory function using the University of Pennsylvania Smell Identification Test, which is a 40-item multiple-choice olfactory identification task.
So you run these evaluations in a cohort of 652 participants. And can you tell us a bit about the results that you found of the association between these two symptoms and the pathologies and co-pathologies that you found at the post-mortem examination?
Yes, of course. What we did is that we looked at the cases that had probable Ramsay behavior disorders. Out of the 652 cases, 156 of them had probable RBD. And then we also separated cases that had a lower olfactory function versus a higher olfactory function to see if a lower olfactory function combined with probable RBD would predict a higher percentage of a synuclein pathology at autopsy. So what we found was that basically when we would combine both markers together, if someone had probable Ramsay behavioral disorder in a low upset score, up to 91% of them had postmortem synuclein pathology in their brain, which was significantly higher than if we would look at probable Ramsay behavior disorder, which was about 74% of them had synuclein in their brain, while when we would just look at a low olfactory score, it would be about 70% of them that had a synuclein pathology. So using both tests, what this study told us is that it would significantly increase the specificity to up to 97% when using both symptoms.
So that's the idea that we get with biomarkers is usually the combination of several of them are more useful in clinical practice than in isolation. One finding that caught my attention is that, as you said, there is a lot of evidence supporting the association between these two symptoms and synucleinopathies. But one of the results that caught my attention is that a probable Ramsay behavior disorder diagnosed clinically, as you said, and also hyposmia, which we know that it can happen in other neurodegenerative disorders, but particularly the presence of Ramsay behavior disorder was relatively frequent in other neurodegenerative disorders, even when you excluded those with Lewy body as a copathology. For example, I think it was about 10% of people with Alzheimer's disease without Lewy body as a copathology, and also a smaller percentage, about 4% of people with PSP. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yes, what we found in our population was that probable RBD was a little bit more frequent than what has been already reported by Sleep Study Center or study that focus on neurodegenerative diseases, which may suggest that when you consider a broader and less selected population like our population, they might have a lower predictive values that is observed for the prediction of synucleinopathy, which is increased when you also take into consideration olfactory dysfunction, which is, like you said, why this is really important to take into consideration more than one symptom and maybe combine. Like, it adds a value to also look at olfactory dysfunction.
I think that's a good point, that the setting of your studies is more population-based, and that may explain some of the differences that we can find. With the results that you have, we now know that the combination of reduced smell and probable RBD is highly specific for Lewy body pathology and with a very high negative predictive value. What is your take-home message? What is the utility of this in clinical practice and clinical research?
I would just say that overall, this work really reinforces the association that, of course, it has already been shown that between RBD and reduced olfactory dysfunction and how it predicts synuclein pathology. But now we do have a validation in a very large autopsy-proven series, which is what I think this study really adds to what is already out there in the literature. And this really reinforces that reduced olfactory function, even though not specific, may be a useful biomarker when we combine it in a population that may be screened for probable RBD with a simple questionnaire, for instance. And I think this may justify the use of more expensive tests, such as RT-quick synuclein assays or even a sleep study in the screening of the general population or for future prodromal studies.
That's a very good point, yeah, that definitely this can be easily assessed in clinical practice at the bedside, and there will be cost-effective to be scalable in large populations. Thank you very much, Cecilia, for your time and an expert discussion about the findings of your study. So I had Cecilia Tremblay discussing her recent paper predicting postmortem alpha-synuclein pathology by the combined presence of probable Ramsay behavior disorder and hyposmia, which is published in Movement Disorders Clinical Practice, and I encourage the listeners to read the full article. Thank you very much, and I hope you found the discussion interesting. Bye-bye for now.
Yes, Chris. Thank you so much.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.